Dave Eggers is the author of 6 books and is the founder and editor of McSweeney's, the independent publishing house based in San Francisco. Performing his story, Your Mother and I, at a selected shorts program at Adelphi University, is the writer and regular contributor to PRI's This American Life, David Rakoff, author of the humorous books Half Empty and Don't Get Too Comfortable.
I told you about that, didn't I? About when your mother and I moved the world to solar energy and wind power to hydro, all that? I never told you that. Can you hand me that cheese? No, the other cheese, the cheddar, right? I really thought I told you about that. What is happening to my head? Well, we have to take the credit, your mother and I, for reducing our dependence on oil and for beginning the age of wind and sun. That was pretty awesome. The name wasn't ours, though. Your Uncle Frank came up with that. He always wanted to be in a band and call it that, the age of wind and sun, but he never learned guitar and couldn't sing. When he sang, he enunciated too much, you know? He sang like he was trying to teach English to Turkish children. Turkish children with learning disabilities. It was really odd, his singing. You already done? Okay, here's the Monterey Jack. Just dump it in the bowl. All of it, right. It was all pretty simple, converting most of the nation's electricity. At a certain point, everyone knew that we just had to suck it up and pay the money because, holy crap, it was really expensive at first to set up the cities to make their own power. All those solar panels and windmills on the city buildings, they weren't always there, you know. No, they weren't. Look at some pictures, honey. They just weren't. The roofs of these millions of buildings weren't being used in any real way, so I said, hey, let's have the buildings themselves generate some or all of the power they use, and it might look really pretty good to boot. Everyone loves windmills, right? Windmills are awesome. So we started in Salt Lake City and went from there. Oh, hey, can you grate that one? Just take half of that block of Munster. Here's a bowl. Thanks. Then we do the cheddar. Cheddar has to be next. After the cheddar pecorino, never the other way around. Say it with me, hon. Jack, Munster, cheddar, pecorino. It is the only way. Right after that was a period of much activity. Your mother and I tended to do a big project like the power conversion, then follow it with a bunch of smaller, quicker things. So we made all the roads red. You wouldn't remember this. You weren't even born. We were all into the roads then, so we had most of them painted red. Most of them, especially the highways. A leathery red that looked good with just about everything, with green things and blue skies and woods of cedar and golden swamps and sugar-colored beaches. I think we were right. You like them, right? They used to be gray, the roads. Insane, right? Your mom thinks yellow would have been good, too. An ochre, but sweeter. Anyway, in the same week, we got rid of school funding tied to local property taxes. Can you believe they used to still pull that crap? Banned bicycle shorts for everyone but professionals, and made everyone's hair shinier. That was us, your mother and I. That was right after our work with the lobbyists. I never told you that either? I must be losing my mind. I never mentioned the lobbyists about when we had them all deported? That part of it, the deportation, was your mother's idea. All I'd said was, hey, why not ban all lobbying, or at least ban all donations from lobbyists and make them wear cowbells so everyone would know they were coming? And then your dear mom, who was, I think, a little tipsy at the time. We were at a bar where they had a Zima special, and you know how your mom loves her Zima. She said, how about to make sure those bastards don't come back to Washington, have them all sent to Greenland? And wow, the idea just took off. People loved it, and Greenland welcomed them warmly. They'd apparently been looking for ways to boost their tourism. They set up some cages and a viewing area, and it was a big hit. So then we were all pumped up, to be honest. Wow, this kind of thing, the lobbyist thing especially, boy, it really made your mother horny. Matter of fact, I think you were conceived around that time. She was like some kind of tsunami of... Oh, don't give me that face. What? Did I cross some line? Don't you want to know when your seed was planted? Well, I would think you'd want to know that kind of thing. Well, then I stand corrected. Anyway, we were on a roll, so we got rid of genocide. The main idea was to create and maintain a military force of about 20,000 troops under the auspices of the UN, which could be deployed quickly to any part of the world within about 36 hours. This wouldn't be the usual blue helmets watching the slaughter. These guys would be badass. We were sick of the civilized world sort of twiddling their thumbs while hundreds of thousands of people killed each other in Rwanda, Bosnia, way back in Armenia, on and on. And then the UN would send 12 Belgian soldiers. Nice guys, but really, you have a genocide raging in Rwanda, 800,000 dead in a month, and you send 12 Belgians? So we made this proposal, the UN went for it, and within a year the force was up and running. And man, oh man, your mother was Randy again. That's when your fecundation happened and why we called you Jana. I remember it now. I was wrong before. Your mother and I were actually caught in the UN bathroom after the vote went our way. The place, all marble and brass, was full of people. And at the worst possible moment, Kofi himself walked in. He sure was surprised to see us there on the sink. But I have to say, he was pretty cool about it. He seemed to enjoy it, even watched for a minute, because there was no way we were going to stop in the middle of... Fine. I won't do that again. It's just that it's part of the story, honey. Everything we did started with love and ended with lust. But you're right, that was inappropriate. We went on tear right after genocide, very busy. I attribute it partly to the vitamins we were on, very intense program of herbs and vitamins and protein shakes. We'd shoot out of bed and bounce around like bunnies, so that's when we covered Cleveland in ivy. You've seen pictures. We did that. Just said, hey, Cleveland, what if you were covered in ivy, all the buildings? Wouldn't that look cool, be a big tourist attraction? And they said, sure. Not right away, though. You know who helped us with that? Denis Kucinich. I used to call him Sparky because he was such a feisty fella. Your mom, she called him the cooch. We're going to need all three kinds of salsa, hon. Yeah, use the small bowls. Just pour it right up to the edge. Right. Your brother likes to mix it up. Me? I'm a fan of the mild. Right after Cleveland and the ivy, we made all the kids memorize poetry again. We hadn't memorized any growing up. This was the 70s and 80s, and people hadn't taught that for years. And we really found we missed it. The girls were fine with the idea, and the boys caught on when they realized it would help them get older women into bed. Around that time, we banned wearing fur outside of Arctic regions, flooded the market with diamonds and golds and silver to the point where none had any value, fixed the ozone hole. I could show you that. We've got it on video. And then we did the thing with the llamas. What are you doing? Sour cream in the salsa? No, no. That's just wrong, sweetie. My God. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, we put llamas everywhere. That was us. We just like looking at them, so we bred 6 million and spread them around. They weren't there before. No, honey, they weren't. Oh, man, there's one now. In the backyard. Isn't it a handsome thing? Now they're as common as squirrels or deer, and you have your mom and pop to thank for that. It's jalapeno time. Use the smaller knife. You're going to cut the crap out of your hand. You don't want one of those. You see this scar on my thumb? Looks like a scythe, right? I got that when we were negotiating the removal of the nation's billboards. I was climbing one of them in Kentucky, actually, to start a hunger strike. Kind of thing, sort of silly, I guess, and cut the ship doodle out of that left thumb. Why the billboards? Haven't you seen one? In books? Well, I guess I just never really liked the look of them. They just seemed so ugly and such an intrusion on the collective involuntary consciousness, a blight on the land. Vermont had outlawed them, and boy, what a difference that made. So your mother and I revived Lady Bird Johnson's campaign against him, and of course, 98% of the public was with us, so the whole thing happened pretty quickly. We had most of the billboards down within a year. Right after that, your brother Sid was conceived, and it was about that time that I had my tubes tied. Give me some of that cobbler, hon. We're going to have the peach cobbler after the main event. I just want to get the Cool Whip on it, then stick it in the freezer for a minute. That's Frank's trick. Frank's come up with a lot of good ideas for improving frozen and refrigerated desserts. No, that's not his job, honey. Frank doesn't have a job, per se. I guess a lot of what we did, what made so much of this possible, was eliminate the bipolar nature of so much of what passed for debate in those days. So often the media would take even the most logical idea, like private funding for all sports stadiums or having all colleges require 40 hours of community service to graduate, and make it seem like there were two equally powerful sides to the argument, which was so rarely the case. A logical fallacy is what that was. So we just got them to keep things in perspective a bit, not make everyone so crazy polarizing every last debate. I mean, there was a time when you couldn't get a light bulb replaced because the press would find a way to quote the sole lunatic in the world who didn't want that light bulb replaced. So we sat them all down, all the members of the media, and we said, listen, we all want to have progress. We all want a world for the grandkids and all. We know we're going to need better gas mileage on the cars and that all the toddlers are going to need Head Start. We're going to need weekly parades through every town and city to keep morale up. We're going to get rid of three strikes and mandatory minimums in the execution of the retarded prisoners. And it all has to happen sooner or later. So don't go blowing any opposition to any of it out of proportion. Don't go getting everyone inflamed. Honestly, when lynchings were originally outlawed, you can bet the newspapers made it seem like there was some real validity to the pro-lynching side of things. You can be sure that the third paragraph of any article would have said, not everyone is happy about the anti-lynching legislation. We talked to a local resident who is not at all happy about it. Anyway, we sat everyone down, served some carrots and onion dip, and in a couple of hours, your mother and I had straightened all that out. About then, we had a real productive period. In about 6 months, we established a global minimum wage. We made it so smoke detectors could be turned off without having to rip them out from the ceiling. And we got Soros to buy the Amazon to preserve it. That was fun. He took us on his jet. Beautiful thing. Appointed in the smoothest cherry antique. And they had the soda where you add the colored syrup yourself. You ever have that kind? Oh, so good. But you can't overdo it. Too much syrup, you feel bloated for a week. Well, then we came home, rested up for a few days, and then we found a cure for Parkinson's. We did so, honey. Yeah. That was us. Don't you ever look through that nice scrapbook we made? You should. It's in the garage with your Uncle Frank. Are you sure he's asleep? No. Don't wake him up. Hell, I guess you have to wake him up anyway because he won't want to miss the comida grande. After Parkinson's, we fixed AIDS pretty well. We didn't cure it, but we made the inhibiting drugs available worldwide for free as a condition of the drug companies being allowed to operate in the United States. Their profit margins were insane at the time. So they relented, made amends, and it worked out fine. That was about when we made all buildings curvier and all cars boxier. After AIDS and the curves, we did some work on elections. First, we made them no more than 2 months long, publicly funded, and forced the networks to give 2 hours a night to the campaigns. Around when you were born, the candidates were spending about $200 million each on TV ads because the news wasn't covering the elections for more than 90 seconds a night. It was nuts. So we fixed that, and then we perfected online and phone voting. Man, participation went through the roof. Everyone thought there was just all this apathy when the main problem was finding your damn polling place. And all the red tape, register now, vote then, come to this elementary school, but skip work to do it, and on, voting on a Tuesday? Good Lord. But the online voting, the voting over the phone, man, that was great. Suddenly, participation exploded from what, about 40% to 88%. We did that over Columbus Day weekend, I think. I remember I'd just had my hair cut very short. Yeah, like in the picture in the hallway. We called that style the Timberlake. And that's about when your mom got all kinky again. She went out, bought this one device. It was kind of like a swing where there was this harness and... Fine. You don't need to know about that. But the harness figures in because that's when your mother had the idea. Some of her best ideas happened when she was lying down. To make it illegal to have more than one precedent from the same immediate family. That was just a personal gripe she had. We'd had the Adamses and the Bushes and we were about to have the Clintons and your mother just got pissed. What the f***, she said. Are we going to have a monarchy here or what? Are we that stupid? Do we have to go to the same well every time? This isn't an Aaron Spelling casting call. This is the damn presidency. I said, what about the Kennedys? And she said, screw them. Or maybe she didn't say that, but that was the spirit of it. She's a fiery one, your mom. A fiery furnace of... So, yeah, she pushed that through, a constitutional amendment. That led to another busy period. One week we made all the cars electric, put water slides in every elementary school. We increased average life expectancy to 164, made it illegal to manufacture or wear Cosby sweaters, and made penises better looking, more streamlined, better coloring, less hair. People, you know, were real appreciative about that. And the last thing we did, which I know I've told you about, was the program where everyone can redo 1 year of their childhood. For $580, you can go back to the year of your choice and do that one again. You're not allowed to change anything, do anything differently, but you get to be there again. Live the whole year with what you know now. Oh, man, that was a good idea. Everyone loved it, and it made up for all the people who were pissed when we painted Kansas purple. Every last inch of it. I did the period between 10 and a half and 11 and a half, fifth grade. Wow, that was sweet. Speaking of 10-year-olds, here comes your brother and Uncle Frank. We didn't have to wake you up. Hola, hermano, tios. Esta la noche de los nachos, sí, sí. And here's your mother. Descending the stairs with her hair up. This I was particularly proud of when I convinced your mother to wear her hair up more often. When she first did it a week before our wedding, I was breathless. I was lifted. I felt as if I'd met her twin, and oh, how I was confused. Was I cheating on my beloved with this version of her, with that long neck exposed, the hair falling in helixes, kissing her clavicles? She assured me that I was not, and that's how we got married, with her hair up. That's how we did the walk with the music and the fanfare, everything yellow and white, side by side, long even strides, she and me, your mother and I.
David Rakoff read Dave Eggers' Your Mother and I. Some conversation, huh, Hannah?